So that first reading could take, we could spend a couple hours on that, but I know all of you want to go to the Laker game today, so I won't do that. But I do want to reflect for a few moments on that gospel today. And I know that for lots of us, because our remembrance of that great transfiguration was about the fact that somehow Jesus unveiled the power and the gift and the grace that he was within him, that gift of being God's son, and the light that shone from that in his life. But somehow, in order to become part of the human condition and to be able to preach and teach and heal, that was somehow not revealed. But in this moment at Mount Tabor or wherever it was, that light shone, and there was that momentary revelation. Some would suggest that the reason for that was to steady the disciples, because they were headed for a horrendous moment in their ministry and in the life of Jesus. They were headed for a moment when this man would be put naked on a cross, and that there would be this great, great tragedy, this horrendous experience. And so Jesus, in order to prepare them, to steady them, to help them to get through that, showed them his glory and to remind them that ultimately and finally there would be resurrection and life. That's something I've held on to and something I certainly attend to in my life. But I found something in John Shea, one of the great men of Chicago, in his reflection on it today that really got me excited. So I want to share just, do you have time for one paragraph? It won't take me long to read it. But it's an extraordinary kind of fresh idea about the transfiguration, and I just thought it was really worthy of our attention today. This is what he says. Although theologians talk about sin and grace as two distinct and different states, we know that we can also appreciate the fact that it is more an alternating experience. In other words, we're not in the state of grace, in the state of sin. It's alternating in our lives. Some days we have good days, and some days our days are not so good. Isn't that right? Absolutely. So that's what happens to us. We know both. He said, I also think that most people know the consciousness of both of these experiences. We know what we feel like in both of those experiences. And let me just put it in words, because sometimes we can think about it, maybe not be able to put it in words, and I think John does. This is what he says. Is there anyone who, feeling isolated and alone, has not reached out into the world and stuffed themselves with any excess that was available, only to find that the inner emptiness remained and even increased and intensified? Is there anyone who, feeling grounded and at home, has not flowed out into the world with compassion and blessing, only to find a deeper compassion and a more abundant blessing? The second scenario he would suggest is this transfiguration. And I believe that. I believe that. I wake up some mornings and I just know that I'm alone and empty. And I'm angry, or I'm upset. And so what happens during the day? I prove that I'm alone, unhappy, and upset. I go down to Menchie's and stuff myself with good yogurt when I know I shouldn't be doing that, because it just kicks something inside me then to look for everything that's sweet through the day. But I'm looking for something to satiate that. Now, that's a safe thing, I could tell you. There's a lot of other things that we can do that try to fill an emptiness, because somehow we're not living in that light. We're living alone. We find darkness and isolation and sin often. And it doesn't fulfill anything inside us. But we also know that there are days when we believe we're not alone, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is right there with us, is not only beside us or around us, but is in us. And somehow it brings communion It brings a communion with other people and a sensitivity to then go out and to try to change this world in some tiny way. This morning, because I've been thinking about this thought because I found it to be an exciting new thought for me about the Transfiguration. And so this morning I was riding my bike and I began riding early and I was obsessing about all this stuff today. And I made a decision that I was going to go to the Laker game this afternoon and what's going to happen if something goes awry. And all those things in my head. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. Wait a minute. Now you can live in that today and give everyone the bum's rush. Or you can believe that Christ is right there inside you and that this day can be a day to manifest that light, that goodness. And in the process of doing that, being attentive to the needs of people in small, tiny, little ways. Does that make sense? I think that's the Transfiguration. I think the Transfiguration is showing us that there's another way. There's another way in which you and I can journey. And in the strength of that, we can make some difference in the world. Megan McKenna has a great story. I won't bore you with all the details of it because I won't bore you with all the details. But she said that she was discussing the resurrection and she was getting her PhD and her mind was full and she was trying to create some image of it, and she was studying, and so she just decided she was going to go out to the beach. And she'd spend an afternoon, pick a little sandwich with her, bring a little squawk box so she could listen to Mozart, have a little reading, and she was just lying down in the quiet of a beautiful beach on the East Coast. And all of a sudden, just as she was about to listen to some great music, a big school bus came into the parking lot. And out of the bus came about 70 kids, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age. And they all had balloons attached to their arm, tied to their arm, so they could be watched, helium balloons. And they ran down the bus thing and out into the, they were shouting and screaming. And she said, oh my God. So, she said, I began to watch one of the boys in particular. He was intent on everything he did. He had such focus. He unwrapped a little brownie that he had in his hand very carefully. And then he retied his shoelaces. And in the midst of one of his maneuvers, the string slipped from his wrist and the balloon headed for the skies. The boy stood there, a picture of absolute loss and dismay. And as he watched his treasure slip away, his fist bunched up in the air. His face was contorted, and he was just about to let out this good cry when suddenly another boy in that group noticed the soaring balloon. He shouted, "Hey guys, look at Joshua. Look what Joshua just found out. They're better. They're better if we let them go." And in a matter of seconds, 50, 60 brightly colored helium-filled balloons were lofting to the skies. And all of these young kids were intent just looking at the beauty of that moment. And in that moment, our friend Joshua's face had gone from dismay to ecstasy. He was stunned. Isn't that a beautiful story? When you live in the light, you can say those little things. You notice those things. People dismayed, people angry, people looking for answers. And we can just go our merry way. Think about ourselves. Be angry at the world. Stuff ourselves with things that will never fill us. Or we can say, "Hey guys, look what Joshua found out." And let those balloons fly. make some little difference.